We've all told stories about ourselves that maybe, just possibly, weren't exactly 100% truthful. We got this email from Naomi. I exaggerate ever so slightly when people ask how many visitors I get on my website, culturesurfer.com. I round the numbers up. Many webmasters exaggerate like crazy, especially about how many hits they get, and they don't bother to tell people the number of hits on a site does not represent the number of visitors. Well, thank you, Naomi, for that. But how about you? Did you ever tell that story about how you were good friends in high school with that now famous celebrity? How you're on a diet and lost 5 pounds so far, but maybe it was only 3? Not really a lie, but it makes for a better story, right? A study published recently in the journal Emotion says this kind of self-serving exaggeration isn't really an attempt to deceive. Instead, it's how we express goals and hopes. That 5 pound weight loss isn't a lie. It's a future truth. Exaggeration, we learn, is psychologically very different from out-and-out lying. One of the authors of the study joins us in a moment. We want to hear from you, too. It's time to fess up. Have you engaged in self-serving exaggeration, even a little bit? Why did you do it, and what was it about? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And there's a confessional underway on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Wendy Berry Mendes is an assistant professor of psychology at Harvard. She's with us on the phone from her office in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And thanks very much for being with us today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Neil.
And explain a little bit more about your study and what it found.
Sure. Over the last few years, Rich Gramzow has been looking at, who's a professor at University of Southampton, has been conducting about a dozen studies looking at this effect of exaggeration, the extent to which, for example, undergraduate students slightly modify their reported GPA and what those reports actually say about their future performance. The study that Dr. Gramzow and I did looked at individual students' physiological responses when they were remembering this GPA that they have achieved in their years of school. And what we found is that, as opposed to when reporting on this GPA, about half the individuals exaggerate their GPA. They seem to strategically misremember that they performed much better than they did in the classes. And I say much better. It's really about a half of a grade point average better than they actually reported. We were interested in what this exaggeration told us about how they performed in the future, but also what their physiology, as remembering these past GPA, their past performance, what it told us about the tension or anxiety that they might be feeling.
And let me just clarify, you had them hooked up to what might be the equivalent of a lie detector. You're measuring skin sensitivity, how much sweat, the kinds of things that can detect an untruth, or stress anyway.
Well, yes, we can get at how people are feeling more distress and tension, exactly.
And if I say, I was next to Neil Armstrong when he stepped onto the moon, I know that's an out-and-out lie. And the fact of telling that, it sets your needles a-quiver, correct?
Right, exactly. That would be an example of just creating something out of whole cloth. That's clearly a lie. And there we expect to see a very different kind of physiological response, one that's more associated with lots of distress and tension. But in this study, instead, when people were exaggerating, for those who exaggerated their GPA, they didn't look distressed at all. Physiologically, they looked quite calm and composed. And I think what was really remarkable are the people who exaggerate are the ones who ultimately, 6 months, 1 year, even up to 4 years later, actually perform better. They set an implicit goal with their GPA that then they later improve upon.
Well, what about miscreants like me, who sometimes misremember my SAT scores and, well, round up that math score?
Right. And we actually see this kind of modification of reality quite often. The question is, are you doing it because you're achievement motivated, that you want a better future self for yourself, or is this something about managing impressions? To the extent that you're being boastful and remembering an SAT score that's higher than you actually achieved, and you're using this to impress others, well, we don't see that as a type of implicit goal setting. But if you're...
Well, I'm not going to go back and retake the SAT.
Exactly.
I might do worse.
Exactly. So to the extent that something is modifiable, like a GPA for students who are still in school, or when you're on a diet and you told your friend that you lost 5 pounds but you only lost 3, the idea is maybe that next week you step up the diet, you exercise a little bit more because you had just committed to saying to somebody, you know, I lost 5 pounds, and now you have a new goal that you're trying to achieve.
Here's an email we got from JKL in Florida. I have a friend who exaggerates in conversation. I presume the reason is for dramatic effect and to seem more interesting than she really is. Well, it was interesting at first, but when we realize it's an exaggeration, if not an actual lie, it becomes irritating. How can we, her friends, handle this? Well, perhaps hooking her up to a lie detector would be a good start. But yeah, there is a distinction, I think your study found, between, well, people who, this slight exaggeration, and people who are posers.
Right, exactly. And when you're doing it to impress somebody, to make others think better of you, well, this isn't the type of exaggeration that we see associated with improvement. It's the subtle, I want to be better, so let me tell you, I think I got a B in science, but they probably got a B minus. The next science class, the idea is that they try a little bit harder. That was where they want to be as opposed to where they actually were.
You said that they would round up their, exaggerate their GPA, their grade point average, by as much as half a point or so. Would they break through the psychological barrier of saying, you know, if your GPA was 2.8, would they take it over 3? If your GPA was, you know, 3.5, would they take it to 4?
Well, the exaggerations are small but systematic, right? So if they're just inaccurate, so one could say, well, I don't really remember my exact GPA. Well, then you'd expect people to make errors on both sides, that they would underestimate their GPA as well as overestimate. And that isn't what happened. About half of the people systematically overestimate, but they're doing it at small dosages, about a half a point. So in your example, maybe a 2.8 going up to a 3.1 or a 3.2. So not flagrant lies. Again, not something out of whole cloth, but just a slight indication that this is where they'd like to be, and then ultimately they achieve that goal.
And in that circumstance, they seem to be entirely comfortable with it, and at least according to the equipment you've got, they don't perceive it as a lie.
Right. That's what was remarkable. If people were exaggerating to, and they were motivated to do this out of a defensive stance that I should be a 3.5 even though I'm not, we'd expect much more distress and tension. If it was an exaggeration that's reflecting this implicit goal, this positive illusion that this is where we want to be, a future-oriented self, then we expect people to be more calm and composed. And both the physiological equipment and when we had independent observers watch these videotapes, the people who exaggerated actually appeared the most calm and composed.
All right. So when everybody's the calmest person in the room is piping it. Anyway, let's talk with Jack. Jack's calling us from Fresno in California.
Yes, hi. Well, I just wanted to say that I'm not so much an exaggerator as an out-and-out liar. But it's more for my entertainment and the entertainment of others, because sometimes the truth just isn't as interesting.
Can you give us an example of an entertaining lie, Jack?
Well, I was on. I'm a musician. I was on tour, and I happened to come to this four-way intersection, and this gentleman nearly cuts me off. We have this near head-on collision. We show each other our fingers, and then he gets out of his car, and he's coming towards me. The truth is, I just drove away. But what I tell my friends is that, well, I'm in my car and he's much bigger than me, so I start chasing him around. Which I thought was a funny story. But the thing is, I come from a long line of liars. We kind of lie the way most people breathe. My sister once posed as a lawyer in the state of Texas to get my dad out of a court date so that he could come to my other sister's wedding.
We don't call that a lie. I think we call that a felony.
I think Jack gives us a great example of an exaggeration or a lie that's really about impressing others, being boastful, as opposed to, you know, he ultimately wants to be able to beat up the guy who chased him down.
Jack, good luck in your next cutoff on the freeway.
Thank you.
So long.
Bye, Jack.
Let's see if we can go now to, this is Christina. Christina with us from South Carolina.
Hi. When I was a sophomore, I go to University of South Carolina here, and when I was a sophomore, we had to create a resume. And I put on the resume that my cumulative GPA was a 3.7, and at the time it was like a 3.4 or something. It's interesting because now I'm going into my senior year, and I just checked my grades. I made all A's this semester, and I'm at a 3.64. So I feel pretty confident that by the end I'll have that 3.7. And I think it's interesting you guys are talking about that. That can actually help you to achieve your goal.
That's
fascinating.
Yeah, it's interesting. But almost by saying it out loud, even though it wasn't quite true, you force yourself to live up to it.
Right.
And I never actually used the resume, you know, because it was just for an assignment. But, you know, I feel like that's kind of helped me, like, set a goal to where, you know, to what I want to aim for. And you know, and I also think, like, this discussion about, like, exaggerating, it can help us become more conscious about it so that we can recognize when we're doing it. Because sometimes I think we do it and we don't even realize it, you know?
I think sometimes Christine is exactly right, that it seeps out unconsciously. So even though I think she's exactly right, you're committing to this future self where she wanted to be in the next few years. Did she actually consciously write down a 3.7, and was she aware that it was a big fat lie at the time, or was she thinking, this is where I want to be, and
I'm sure as
the time goes on, this is what I'll achieve?
Right. Actually, when I did it, I wasn't even really quite aware of what. And I knew that that was higher than what my actual GPA was.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and even today I was talking to a friend about my grades, and she made a comment that, well, she had made all A's, and I was like, oh, yeah, me too. And then I was like, well, actually, you know, I'm not positive about two of my classes. And she caught herself and said, oh, you know what, I'm not either, but I'm pretty sure, you know. So we find ourselves just, like, you know, making these comments and accepting to ourselves that it's truth, you know. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we just have to catch ourselves and realize, you know, no, that's not totally truthful.
Right, right.
Christina, thanks very much for the call, and good luck at what I'm told is the real USC.
University of South Carolina. Sorry about that.
Go ahead. Bye-bye. We're talking with Wendy Berry Mendes, an assistant professor of psychology at Harvard and one of the authors of a study about exaggeration. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Wendy Berry Mendes, I read that identification. Didn't I read in the article that you're an associate professor of psychology?
Yes, what a great example of, you know, a slightly unconscious exaggeration. So when I talked to the terrific science writer of the New York Times article, Benedict Carey, we were getting down my exact title at the time, and I had just heard that I was promoted from assistant to associate. And just out of reflex, I've already made the mental shift to an associate professor of psychology. But it turns out that that actual rank isn't official until July 1. So here's kind of a funny example of, it's true, I am an associate professor as of July 1, which is my future self, not my current self.
Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. Homer's with us. Homer calling from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hey.
Go ahead, Homer.
The thing that I find myself doing is I will place myself into a story and retell a story that someone else has told me before.
Oh, so you put yourself in, tell you a story about yourself, but it really happened to another person?
Right. Or not even necessarily that it's about me, but I make it seem like I was there so that the story is more convincing or maybe more relevant to conversation. Because, you know, sometimes you could say, you know, like, this one guy that I knew had a friend who told me once that blah, blah, blah. But instead, I would just say, oh, yeah, one time I did this.
Or Neil Armstrong looked over to me and said, what should I say when I put my foot on the moon there? So is this in the realm of exaggeration, do we think, or is this coming on to a whopper?
Right. So here we would definitely make this distinction that what Homer's talking about, sort of transcending yourself into another situation that didn't happen, probably wouldn't fit our definition of exaggerating to commit to a future self. So this falls into that other category of just out and out lying. But for effect, right?
Homer, thanks very much.
Oh, thank you.
So long. Let's talk with Avi. And Avi's with us from San Francisco.
Oh, hi there. Thanks for having me.
Go ahead, please.
When I was younger, I always hated coconut. I've throughout my life, I've never liked coconut. So my friends would offer me coconut popsicles or drinks or things, and I'd always just want to reject it. So I made up a story about when I was younger, that when I was 6 years old, my birthday at Disneyland was ruined by having a coconut popsicle. And then I found out I was allergic to it, that never happened at all. But I kept the story going for about 6 years just to get out of eating coconut. And I finally came clean to my friends, and ever since then I've gotten coconut popsicles for every birthday.
And deserved every one of them, Avi.
It's very true.
Thanks very much for the call.
Oh, you're welcome.
And happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Avi.
Let's see if we get Melissa in. Melissa's calling us from Lansing, Michigan.
Hi.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks.
I have been lying about my age for the last 20 years, and I have been making myself older.
Older?
Older. Because I had a baby at 17, and it was just easier when you have a five-year-old to say you're 25 and not 22.
But then once you've said that for some time, well, you're stuck with it.
Yeah, well, I'm 40 in the eyes of most of the people of the community I live in, and I turned 38 last month.
So you're still in the demographic that networks want.
Well, I figure it'll all balance out in the end, right?
And this is certainly exaggerating something that's unusual, right? Usually, if anything, women chop a few years off of their age, just like men might add a few inches onto their height and women shave a few pounds off their weight. Age is also something that people might alter, but this isn't modifiable. Right, age and height aren't traits that we can modify, so those don't fall into the same kind of positive illusions of ourselves.
Well, here's one, and Melissa, thanks very much for the call, and I guess good luck on your birthday too.
The best thing is that everybody thinks I look great for my age.
I bet you do.
Thank you.
Here's an email we got from Alan in Berkeley, California. I've forgotten my IQ, but I always say it's higher, 140, than it probably was. And I think that's probably accurate. 140 would be genius level. So
right.
Even though he got into Berkeley, apparently. let's see. Wendy Berry Mendez, thanks so much for your time today. And really, I'm not exaggerating about that.
It was my pleasure. And it was a fantastic day for me, too.
Wendy Berry Mendez, the assistant future associate professor of psychology at Harvard and one of the authors of a study about exaggeration. She joined us from her office at Harvard. Ira Flatow will be here tomorrow with Science Friday. We'll see you again on Monday. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.